Vancouver Short Film Festival is back with its fourth annual festival on November 15th to the 16th at the Van City Theatre, showcasing BC's best short films by homegrown filmmaking talent with an exciting lineup of 25 notable and award-winning films in 5 different screenings, including the all-new BC web series screening. Visit www.vsff.com to check out full program details and to get your tickets now.
You are tuned into CITR 101.9 FM, and this is Scald's Hull. I am your host, Brian McDonald, and it is Friday, November the 8th, 2013, here in Vancouver. It is 1 o'clock in the afternoon on the Friday before Remembrance Day here in Canada. Memorial Day, many other places. The day on which we celebrate the memorial of the armistice that ended the war to end all wars, or at least that is what they called it in the past. And today we're going to be speculating a little bit about what has passed and what is to come. So, I have a bit of a treat for you. Sit back, relax, and take a listen to something that was written during a dark time of war for us to listen to over broadcast.
Over the years of like, oh, they're in Chicago. They're playing Chicago on Friday for a reason.
Okay, hold on a second. I have... Somebody has left something playing that should not be playing. Let's see. Shut everything off and... Okay.
I'm sorry, but I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent, and all will be lost. The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for the goodness in men, cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all. Even now, my voice is reaching millions throughout the world, millions of despairing men, women, and little children, victims of a system that makes men torture and imprison innocent people. To those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes, men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts. You don't hate. Only the unloved hate, the unloved and the unnatural. Soldiers, don't fight for slavery. Fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke, it is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power to create machines, the power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful, to make this life a wonderful adventure. Then in the name of democracy, let us use that power. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world, a decent world, that will give men a chance to work, that will give youth a future and old age a security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power. But they lie. They do not fulfill that promise. They never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with national barriers, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason, a world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us all unite!
After decades of decline, drowning fatalities have been rising dramatically in Canada since 2004. Most drowning victims had no intention of going in the water, and harmless situations can become dangerous quickly. This summer, if you're going out on the water, even if you're not planning on going in it, be water smart and be prepared. Here are some things you can do to reduce your risk of drowning. Learn to swim and swim to survive. If you can tread water for a minute, you can orient yourself, and if you can swim 50 meters in a pool, you'll most likely be able to swim to safety in open water. Most drowning fatalities occur within just 15 meters of safety. Wear a life jacket or personal flotation device. 80% of all boating deaths were people who were not wearing one. Take a marine safety course, and if you're going kayaking or canoeing, know how to get out of your craft if it flips over. Practice basic safety moves such as wet exits and self-rescues. Save the alcohol for dry land after you're done playing on the water. And never go out alone. For more information and more safety tips, go to lifesaving.bc.ca.
Tonight, we take pleasure in bringing you Suspense, a weekly anthology of notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair, to keep you in suspense. Perfumes, oils, and unguents have been part of human culture for thousands of years. The ancient Egyptians incorporated scented balms into their religious ceremonies. By medieval times, perfumes had become part of everyday life, used both on the body and on personal items. But the process of crafting scents was time-intensive and difficult, and perfumes were generally reserved for the wealthy. That changed at the turn of the 20th century, when the combination of advances in organic chemistry and the advent of mass production made perfume in its various forms available to the common man. It also created a lucrative industry that bred the bitterest of rivalries among individuals who are now legends: Chanel, Molyneux, Schiaparelli, Arden. But as rancorous as their relationships were, there were limits to what they would do to ensure their place in history. But not all of their ilk were so scrupulous.
Well, here we are, Blackwell Manor.
Yeah, home sweet mausoleum. Thanks for picking me up at the airport.
Think nothing of it, sister of mine.
I was this close to having to call a taxi since Smother saw fit to dismiss the entire serving staff.
Well, you know, Mother's gotten to be a bit eccentric in recent months.
Eccentric? Try loony.
Nah, Jackie.
Shut up, Tadpole. What, are you campaigning for Opal's job as head sycophant around here?
No, but unlike you, Jackie, I realize that the walls have very large ears.
Oh, afraid that Mopal will hear what you really think of our beloved Smother. It's that sort of daring that got you where you are today. A pencil pusher with a fancy title. No power and no future.
Listen, you...
Why, if it isn't the prodigal twins. Oh, please don't let me interrupt your little tiff. I'm sure Mother would find it of great interest.
And I'm sure you'd be more than happy to inform her. Which?
I'm sorry, what was that, Junkie? Oh, I mean Jackie. So nice that they let you out of rehab early this time. And little Tadpole, that captain of industry. Here to beg Mother to let you spring another appalling fragrance on an unsuspecting world?
Hello, Opal.
I've never understood how you can remain so pasty white, Mopal. You have your head so far up Smother's puckered old butt that you should have an all-over tan.
I'll remember that when you're cut out of the will and looking for a handout. I'll let Mother know that you're finally here.
Jackie, are you off your rocker? You know Opal tells Mother everything.
Oh, ask me if I care.
That trust fund of yours isn't going to last forever. What would you do if she cut you off? You need to stay in Smother's good graces.
Smother's?
Damn it! You see what you made me do? And if you want to be in Mother's good graces, you better treat Opal with some more respect.
Oh, that two-faced cow doesn't deserve any respect. Always sucking up to Smother with that devoted daughter routine. Ugh! You know she hates that old battle axe just as much as we do.
Deserve has nothing to do with it. Just make nice with her for a few days. It'll all be over. You can do that, can't you?
Fine. Anything to get you to shut up.
It won't be for long. The doctor says Mother doesn't have long left. Just a matter of weeks. Maybe even days before her heart fails.
Well, at least now she has proof that she actually has a heart. God knows we never saw any sign of one when we were growing up. We were an inconvenience or an embarrassment at best. And she never missed an opportunity to impress that upon us.
Look, I hate Smother every bit as much as you do. If not more. After the way she made me the laughingstock of Naomi, I could just...
Just what?
Nothing. Look, it'll all be over soon. We just need to play the loving children for a few days. That's all.
Well... We don't have Mopal's extensive theatrical training to fall back on, but...
Come on, sis. Let's get unpacked. I'm sure Mother will want to see us shortly.
Mother, Tad and Jackie have arrived. Shall I send them in?
Not just yet, dear. Let them get unpacked first. Besides, there's something I'd like to discuss with you.
But of course, Mother, anything you say.
Close the door, if you please. And come sit beside me. Closer, dear. Now close your eyes and smell this vial. What do you think?
Why, it's the most exquisite fragrance I've ever smelled. The middle notes of jasmine and mimosa are perfectly rounded out with the sandalwood and, oh, that's gold amber. How clever to use that as the top note, as it's typically so heavy. But in this case...
You've always had the nose, dearest. Oh, what a successor to me you could have been, if not for that unpleasantness with Milstein. But I digress.
What is this new fragrance?
Do you remember yesterday when that package arrived via special courier?
Yes, Mother, of course.
This vial is my legacy, our newest scent. The one that will reestablish Naomi as the preeminent line of fragrances.
Have you named it, Mother?
Why, yes, I have. I've named it in honor of our very first fragrance, Opal Sublime.
What?
With my time here so short, I just want to give my favorite child her due.
Mother, I am so touched.
That's nice, dear. But let's just keep this between ourselves for now, shall we?
But of course, Mother.
Now, I suppose I should spend some time with those siblings of yours. Please send Jacqueline in, will you?
Yes, Mother. Mother will see you now, Junkie, and then your twin brother, a tad, later.
Drop dead, drama queen.
Hello, Jacqueline.
Smother. Ugh. I see you still sleep in this silk swath laboratory. Sample bottles everywhere. Here's a name for that one. Yak Essence Toilet Water by Naomi.
I see your vacation hasn't improved your disposition whatsoever.
It wasn't a vacation, Smother. I was in rehab. Again, as you well know.
Yes, dear, I know. But at least your time in the country brought some color to your cheeks and kept you out of the tabloids for a change. Unless there are any new scandals I should be aware of?
Well, the day's still young.
Oh, Jacqueline. In a way, you remind me of myself when I was your age. Such spirit. Such fire.
You're kidding, right?
No, dear. I'm quite serious. Jacqueline Renee, will you please sit down? Thank you.
What do we have to talk about?
Your future.
So this is the part where you tell me I'm cut out of the will.
Oh, there's no need for that. I've made plans that you, your brother, and Opal will all be taken care of. If only you can stay and humor your old smother.
Fine, I'll stay. Can I go now?
Yes. Oh, wait. Could you please dispose of this for me? I've kept this little pistol in my nightstand drawer since before you were born. But there's no need for me to have it any longer, and I fear someone might get hurt if they were to find it after I'm gone.
So what do I do with it? Can't exactly drop it down the trash compactor.
Careful, Jacqueline! It's loaded! Take it to the sheriff's station and turn it in. Until then, just keep it in your purse for safekeeping, all right? Thank you. Now, send in your brother.
Tad, you're up. I'm going to get cleaned up and then grab something to eat.
Come in, dear.
Hello, Mother. It's good to see you.
Tad, my baby boy. Thank you for taking time away from work to come see your mother. Have you been keeping busy?
But of course, Mother. After all, my whole life is devoted to making the company that bears your name the most successful perfume brand in the world.
Of course it is, dear. Sit down, darling. There's something I wish to discuss with you. Not on the bed, Tad. Sit in the chair. Now close your eyes and smell. It's our newest scent. What are your impressions of it?
Well,
Oh, never mind, Tad. I sometimes forget that Opal is the only one of you to have inherited my nose.
Sorry, Mother.
It's all right, Tad. This is our latest fragrance. The one that will put us back on the top of the perfume industry? A fitting coda for my career, even if I'm not here to see it.
A new fragrance, Mother? Have you selected someone to run
Tad,
the project?
Tad, Tad, Tad. I know what you're thinking, but get those thoughts right out of your head.
But...
Do you remember what happened the last time I left you in charge of a project? Do you? Rather than come up with an original recipe... You simply bribed a technician at Savoy and copied Distinction. And then to make matters worse, you added that ghastly top note of woodsy moss to it. Which makes you not just a thief, but an incompetent one to boot.
That's not fair, Mother. I only did it to improve the Naomi brand.
And how did that work out? Our share of the men's fragrance market dropped 58% as a result of that fiasco. But let's not quarrel about this, shall we? The important thing is that you're here now, and I can make certain that my legacy is secured.
Yes, Mother.
And besides, Mother has a much more important task for her baby boy, one that I couldn't possibly entrust to anyone else.
Really? What is it, Mother?
The only thing that has any meaning to me now is that my legacy be secured. And with the three of you here, now I can do just that. In the gardener's shed, you'll find a vial of cyanide. He used it for disposing of vermin. I want you to fetch that vial and to put a dose of it in a cup of tea for me.
What, Mother? I couldn't...
Tad, I will be dead very soon regardless. But I want to exit this world on my own terms, having left behind nothing but my life's work, Naomi. For it is the very essence of who I am.
But, Mother...
Tad, you and your siblings have been nothing but an embarrassment to me and to Naomi. Your own propensity for stealing and abject failure as a businessman. Jacqueline's utter inability to stay sober or off the front page of the scandal sheets. Opal abandoning Naomi for the theater, then becoming pregnant to that married director, Leonard Milstein. But all of that will be forgotten if only you will do this one thing for Mother.
Well...
If you do this, you have my word that you will be taken care of for the rest of your life.
Very well, Mother. For you. When shall I do it?
Right now, Tad. Right now.
Anything for you, Mother. I'll be right back. Need to finish this before Jackie finishes her shower. First, let the tea leaves steep, and then add the cyanide chaser. Mother, I've brought you your tea, as requested.
Thank you, Tad. Just put it on my nightstand, if you please. Now, I want you to go on an errand for me.
But...
I don't want my baby boy to be here when I depart. Please, Tad, just leave the house and come back in 30 minutes. Everything should be taken care of by then. My legacy will be secured.
As you wish, Mother. Goodbye, Smother.
Yes, Opal, darling. Could you please come to my room?
Of course, Mother. I'll be right there. Yes, Mother?
Oh, your brother made me this nice cup of tea. I didn't want to hurt his feelings, but I don't care for orange pierogi. Be a dear and take it away, would you? Wait. As I recall, this is Jackie's favorite blend. Why don't you take it to her? Wouldn't want it to go to waste after all.
But of course, Mother, I'll do it right away. Chunky must be in the kitchen.
Hmm.
Mother asked me to give this to you. She says it's your favorite blend.
I don't want any tea.
Oh, is that so? Then I suppose I'll have to tell Mother that you spurned her offering.
You can tell Smother whatever you want. All right, I'll drink her damn tea.
There, now was that so bad?
It tastes funny.
Jackie, what's the matter with you? Jackie?
Can't breathe.
Jackie?
The tea's poisoned.
What?
You poisoned me.
Jackie, what are you doing with that gun? What are you...
No!
Hello? Hello? Is anybody here? Maybe they took Mother to... Oh my God. Jackie! Opal! No! Jackie! Dead. Both dead. Mother's teacup and her bedside pistol on the floor beside Jackie. Jackie drank the poison tea, then shot Opal before she died. Mother planned this. She used me to make the poison tea and must have given Jackie her old gun. Then all Mother had to do was get Opal to take the tea away. Well, that vindictive monster's manipulated us for the last time. Mother's gonna pay for what she's done. Mother, I'm going to kill you. Too late. You're already dead, Mother. Leave it to you to deny me this one small bit of revenge. Damn you! Damn you.
Freeze!
What?
I said freeze!
Okay.
Drop the gun, Blackwell!
Look, Sheriff, this isn't what you think.
Drop the gun now! Now turn around and put your hands behind your back. Very slowly. Thaddeus Blackwell, you are charged with 3 counts of murder in the first degree.
No!
You have the right to remain silent.
I didn't do it, it was Mother.
Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law.
She set me up.
You have the right to speak to an attorney and to have an attorney present during any questioning.
She made them kill each other.
If you cannot afford a lawyer, one will be provided for you at government expense.
No!
Listen to me, Blackwell. Listen! Your mother reported that she heard gunshots downstairs, and here you are with a still-smoking gun in your hand. Your 2 sisters dead in the kitchen, and your mother riddled with bullet holes. You're looking at life without parole. Do you understand, Blackwell? Do you understand? You're looking at 3 hots in a cot for as long as you live, so you better get your story straight and wait for your legal counsel before you tell it.
So this is what she meant when she said she wanted to secure her legacy, and that I'd be taken care of for the rest of my life.
Hard to believe that she could have such a peaceful look on her face, even as her own son was murdering her. Guess the old saying is true. Even when we pass on, the essence of what we were in life remains.
So true. So very true. Thank you.
So ends Essence by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Tonight's story of Suspense. Suspense is produced by Blue Hours Productions. Tonight's radio drama was adapted for radio by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes from their original story. Dana Perry Hayes was Naomi Blackwell. Elizabeth Grayson was Opal Blackwell. Adrian Wilkinson was Jacqueline Blackwell. Skylar Caleb was Thaddeus Blackwell. And Steve Moulton was the sheriff. I'm Damon Crawl. Next week at this time, tune in again for another study in Suspense.
Lace Up for Kids is an annual event organized by UBC Rec that enlists students in their communities to raise money for BC Children's Hospital Foundation. The event culminates in a community skating celebration at the UBC Doug Mitchell Thunderbird Arena on Thursday, November 21st. Teams can sign up online at laceup.ca and start fundraising today.
Countdown for blast off. X-minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X-minus 1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future. Adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds.
X. Minus. One.
Tonight's story, The Parade, by George Lefferts.
You are Mr. Sid Ryan?
The same.
My name is Lucia. I'm a Martian.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. What was that again?
A Martian.
A Martian, eh? As in Orson Welles?
Precisely.
I'm a Rotarian myself. Sit down.
Thank you.
And now that we've had our little joke, Mr. Lucia, what can Publicity Associates do for you?
It has been my observation that advertising and publicity are the very backbone of earthly civilization.
Spoken like a true Martian, Mr. Lucia. Now, if you'll tell me the name of the client.
The client, of course, will be the Martians.
You don't give up, do you?
Give up?
The gag, I mean. Oliver.
Oh, yes, Mr. Ryan?
This is Mr. Lucia.
How do you
Mr.
doing,
Mr. Lucia George? Claims to be a Martian. Take him outside, will you, Oliver? Get the name of the sanatorium he escaped from and tell them to bring the butterfly net.
Waiter! I'm happy to see, Mr. Ryan, that my telling you I'm a Martian has approximately the effect I supposed it would have. I believe we can do business. I have here the cash retainer for $5,000.
Sit down, Mr. Lucia. Oliver, get the client a cigar.
Yes, sir.
No. The other box,
Thank you, no.
What can I do for you, sir?
I wish you to manage a publicity campaign. A very large, a very important campaign.
Is the product established, or is it something brand new?
Oh, something quite new. Now, what would you judge to be the most effective type of campaign?
Well, if the client has a lot of dough to throw around, a suspense campaign is best. First, you place ads in the paper saying, watch this space. Then, about a week later, you run an ad saying XYZ or PDQ, and you get people guessing what it means. Then, finally, when you've teased them enough, you bust loose and unveil the product.
Excellent. Very well, sir. We shall conduct a suspense campaign.
Of course, in this kind of campaign, secrecy is very important. Once the name of the product leaks out, it spreads like wildfire and the whole campaign is kerfluffle.
Yes, quite so, quite so. Utmost secrecy.
That's right. You realize, of course, these things cost like crazy.
Would, say, $1 million cover the expense?
Come again?
I said, would $1 million cover it?
Yes, I imagine. You did say $1 million.
I understood that you had handled some very large accounts. Of course, if this is too big...
Oh, not at all, not at all. As a matter of fact, I seldom touch anything less. Right, Oliver?
Huh? Oh, of course, that's right, Mr. Ryan. Absolutely right.
Good. You will begin, then, by saturating the newspapers, the radio, streetcars, with a very simple statement.
What's that?
I shall write it for you.
The Martians are coming. Say, that's not a bad teaser. Got that, Oliver?
Yes, sir.
The next ad will read, June 1st is Martian Day.
June 1st is Martian Day.
What happens on June 1st?
The parade takes place.
What parade?
I wish you to arrange a parade up Fifth Avenue.
You mean like the Macy parade?
Exactly. Except that the theme will be the world of tomorrow. The Martian world. My client would like it to be a gay affair. Balloons, clowns, pennants, pretty drum majorettes.
Hey, that sounds terrific. I might be able to interest the department stores in a tie-in.
The parade will climax the campaign. On June 1st, the product will be unveiled.
Good enough. By the way, Mr. Lucia, just what is the product? What are we selling?
Oh, no, Mr. Ryan. Secrecy, remember.
Oh, but after
all... All will be revealed to you in good time, Mr. Ryan. For the moment, let us say we are selling a concept.
A concept?
Precisely. The concept of invasion from Mars.
Benny Marcus, please.
This is Benny.
Benny, this is Sid Ryan over at Publicity Associates. Listen, Benny, how you fix for midgets?
I got midgets.
Fine. I need 40 midgets for a parade. 40. June 1st. And listen, Benny, I want them dressed in little spacesuits.
What?
You know, like men from Mars, okay?
Midgets.
And I want some movie extras, maybe 50 of them. Also rigged up like men from Mars. Make them look gruesome. Got that?
Gruesome.
Also, I need some horses with pretty girls on top of them. Maybe you can get that bunch from Maroney's Traveling Circus, the ones we booked for the Fireman's Parade in Albany last year.
That's right, sir.
And never mind the expense, just get me the talent, okay? I gotta hang up now. Call me back, Benny. How you doing, Oliver?
Oh, fine, Mr. Ryan, just fine. We got full-page ads in all the dailies and 10-second spot announcements on every local station, but it's costing a fortune.
The more it costs, the bigger our percentage. Spend like you are going to the electric jail, Oliver.
Yes, sir. How are you making out on the parade?
If it comes off, it'll be the biggest thing since Barnum invented the midget. I've got Macy's, Gimbel's, and Saks to contribute floats. Everything is built around the Martian thing, see? Even horses will have long feelers attached to them and funny-looking extra legs. It'll be sensational.
Oh, yeah, it sounds fine, only...
Only what?
Oh, Mr. Ryan, we don't even know what we're selling.
Oliver, my boy, do you think old Sid Ryan has been sitting here spending all this moolah and not putting two and two together?
You mean you know who Lucia represents?
Just by accident, understand? I have learned that Century Pictures is making a big new epic. A space opera entitled Invasion from Mars. Get it?
Oh, I begin to see.
Also, by mere coincidence, it happens to be the premiere sometime around June 1st. You follow me?
But Mr. Ryan, Century has an exclusive contract with New Features Syndicate for all their publicity.
Suppose Century Pictures doesn't like the way New Features is handling their stuff. They want to get out of the contract, but New Features says no. So they have to get around the contract. A man named Lucia, client unknown, starts publicizing the Martian invasion. Need I go further?
Oh, I get it, Mr. Ryan. Gee, I suppose I should have thought of that.
No, Oliver, that's what I like about you. You're so innocent. torture, Commissioner Patrick, please. Sid Ryan.
Hello?
Commish? Sid Ryan.
Oh, it's you. Well, what is it this time? If you want to drop a man off the Empire State Building into a teacup full of water, the answer is no. Also, we are not arresting any fan dancers.
You know I don't handle fan dancers. I want a permit for a parade, June 1st, 5th Avenue. It's a Sunday. There's no traffic.
Oh, come now. Look, Ryan.
Macy's gets a permit. Gimbel's gets a permit. The American Legion gets a permit. The Sons of Aaron march every time Morton Downey sings the Wearing the Green. Don't give me a hard time, Patrick. This is too big.
Come on.
I have the Fifth Avenue Merchants Association behind me.
Okay, Ryan. Fill out the forms. I'll pass them along to the license commissioner.
That's my boy.
Oh, by the way, what's the occasion?
Oh, don't you read the papers, Patrick? June 1st is Martian Day.
Well, Mr. Ryan, how is the campaign going?
Like fire, Mr. Lucia, like fire. Everybody and his brother is going along with the gag. Yesterday, we distributed 50,000 Martian hats to school kids. I even arranged for Commissioner Patrick to accept a $50,000 check for the Policeman's Benevolent Fund from the man from Mars. I understand Century Pictures spent over $1 million making that space opera.
A big pardon?
Oh, come, Mr. Lucia. Sid Ryan wasn't born yesterday, you know. I know who our client is, even if you don't admit it.
You do?
Always thinking, that's me.
Well, as long as you know, let's keep it to ourselves, shall we, Mr. Ryan? As you once remarked, when these things leak out, it destroys the surprise and ruins the effectiveness of the campaign.
Speaking to you from our portable transmitter atop the reviewing stand for the much-heralded Martian parade on Fifth Avenue. It's a beautiful sunlit day here in New York. Perfect day for a parade. And the streets are packed with thousands of spectators, all eager to find out what this is all about. There's an air of shrill expectancy.
Come over here!
Okay, come all right. I've just had word from Sol Brown at the Central Park Mall that the Martians have landed from big pink balloons. And while we're waiting here for the arrival of the parade, we've brought some people up to our microphone to tell you their reactions to this spectacular affair. What's your name, madam?
Miss Shackley.
A little louder, please.
Miss Ada Shackley.
And where are you from, Mrs. Shackley?
Columbus, Ohio.
I see. And I see you have your family with you. Two little curly-headed boys. Are you in New York for your vacation?
Yeah, we came for the Shriners Convention with their daddy.
Well,
Mama,
what do you think of Martian Day, Mrs. Shackley?
Well, it all seems very strange to me, but the boys have been pestering me to watch it, so we've been standing here for 2 hours. I can't make head or tail of it.
Well, neither can a lot of other people, Mrs. Shackley, but judging by the thousands here already, there's a lot of curiosity.
Curiosity killed a cat.
Let's hope not. Thank you, Mrs. Shackley. And now, here's the... Here they come, ladies and gentlemen. The first units of the big Martian parade, swinging down Fifth Avenue. Fanfare, colored streamers, music, confetti, floats, and all this matching to the Mardi Gras. Let's listen to the band for a minute. Here in the vanguard, the whole troop of little midgets in weird-looking pink and blue spacesuits, carrying rude Goldberg weapons with signs painted on them. I can read one which says Atomic Blaster. Another had the placard reading, We're Martian Through Georgia. And here come the clowns, laughing and falling all over each other. They're giving free sugar candy to the kids along the way. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is a happy, laughing crowd along Fifth Avenue today. A true reflection of a great sense of humor and good nature that makes America the place it is. Why, only... What's this? The crowd's murmuring now. They've fallen somewhat silent. Something coming. I'll try to get it for you.
What?
Ladies and gentlemen, here comes the Martian contingent. This is promised as the climax of the show. And now a great hush has fallen over the crowd. It's quite a sight to see these thousands of people standing here expectantly, hearing only the great regular sigh of their mass breathing. And now here they come, ladies and gentlemen. The Martians, marching in booted, helmeted ranks, row after row of them. This is an impressive sight, ladies and gentlemen. And rather serious contrast to the rest of these, the joyous slapstick parade we've been witnessing up in Mao.
Perhaps, 200 tall, broad-chested men dressed in metallic gray spacesuits with thick glass visors drawn across their faces. Each one's holding an ominous-looking ray gun at the ready position. They're marching in absolute silence. Moving steps perfectly, as though some mute, unspoken command were marking time for them. Even the children are awed by the unexpected warlike realism of the Martian Legion. And now the first ranks of the Martians move past us, down Fifth Avenue toward the reviewing stands at the square. No one moves. There. A woman. A woman, ladies and gentlemen, just dashed out into the street. For what reason, I don't know. She just slipped through the police court and somehow. They're after her now. But she's already reached the ranks of the Martians and she's trying to lift the visor of one of the Martian space gears. Wait. She's fallen. She screamed and then fell forward in a dead faint. The Martian column keeps right on coming. Unless they break ranks, they're going to trample us. No. The policemen have got her now. They're dragging her away. Out of the way. Trying to revive her now. What's that? All sorts of rumors have begun filtering back through the crowd. Some reason whispering that the woman's dead. We don't know yet, but whatever's happened, the incident seems to have cast a slight shadow over the mood of the crowd. Carefree holiday air seems to have vanished. The crowd stirring uneasily. A little disturbed at what we've just seen. Nothing to be alarmed at, however. It just seems a shame that anything like this should happen to spoil our enjoyment of the Martian parade.
Mr. Ryan, did you see that? A woman fainted. She ran out into the street to get a close look at the Martians, then she screamed and fainted dead away.
I'm well aware of that, Oliver, since I paid her $50 to do it.
What?
The dramatic moment, Oliver. The stock and trade of the good publicity man. Relax.
Holy smokes, you sure think of everything.
For my share of this deal, roughly $100,000, I can afford to think of everything. Shut the window.
Okay, but don't you want to see the finish?
We'll get out of the reviewing stand for the finish. Right now, I want to make a phone call. By the way, where's Lucia?
I haven't seen it.
Well, close the window, Oliver.
Well, okay, Mr. Ryan.
Marcus Powell Agency.
Benny, this is Sid Ryan.
Oh, say, listen, Sid, I was going to call you. I'm awful sorry about those Martians.
What do you mean, sorry? They're terrific.
No, don't joke, Sid. I mean it.
Well, I mean it, too. They're great, great.
Are you in a bag?
Never felt better.
You mean it, don't you?
Of course I mean it. What is this?
There are Martians in the parade?
About 150. Of course, I only ordered 50,
Sid,
but under the circumstances...
Sid.
What is it?
Sid, don't you know I couldn't get you a single movie extra? There's a studio strike in New York.
Huh? Wait a minute. Where did these guys come from if you didn't hire them?
I don't know.
Hold on. Oliver?
Oh, yes, Mr. Ryan?
Did you hire those Martians?
Well, no, sir. I didn't...
Benny, this is on the level, isn't it?
Oh, yes, Sid, I...
Okay, Benny, I'll call you back.
What's the matter, Mr. Ryan?
I don't know. Just don't know. Wonder if Lucia had them. What's Century Pictures number?
Tremaine 4, 1000.
Tremaine 4, 1000.
Century Pictures, the studio of the stars.
Give me Marty Sanford, your publicity director.
One moment, please.
Sanford?
Marty, this is Sid Ryan.
Oh, hello, Sid. How's
it? Fine. Listen, Marty, this is dead serious. On the level, get it?
What's wrong?
I've got to locate Lucia.
Lou who?
Lucia, come on now, Marty. This is life and death. The guy you sent over to hire me for the invasion picture.
I've heard of a guy named Lucia. And, what invasion picture?
Invasion from Mars, the space opera.
Are you batty?
Marty.
That picture was shelved last month.
What?
Sure, back in the can. The big shots decided you can't sell a Martian invasion to the American public. It's too incredible, Sid. Who'd ever believe it could really happen? Now, all agree.
Mother in heaven.
What is it, Mr. Ryan? You look terrible.
It's too fantastic.
Mr. Ryan, is something wrong?
Open that window. I want another look at those Martians. Look at them. Oliver, you were in the Army. Could 150 movie extras learn to march like that in, say, 24 hours?
No. Not in 24 days, Mr. Ryan.
Not a second's hesitation. Not one out of step. Look at the way they carry those ray guns at the ready. The only other time I've seen troops march like that was a film of the Nazi SS troops marching through the streets of Paris.
Mr. Ryan.
Oliver, get down there. Find that woman who fainted. Her name's Gloria Montez. Get her up here. Make it fast.
can't get much sense out of her.
Stay away from me!
Okay, Gloria, you can cut out the act of the lights. It's me, Sid Ryan. Gloria, settle down. Baby, it's me, Sid.
It's awful. It's those big green eyes and those feelings like a catfish.
Baby, snap out of it. Listen, what happened down there? You ran out and screamed like I told you, but the fainting, that wasn't in the act.
Go away, please. Go away.
Just one question, baby. Inside that helmet, what did you see?
Anything out of service, Ryan, she needs a doctor.
Okay, Oliver. I've heard enough anyway. You take care of Gloria. Get her a drink.
Where are you going?
To see the commissioner. You've got to stop this parade before things begin to happen.
Okay, Ryan, what's the beat?
Listen, Patrick, I don't know what it is, see, but something's wrong. You've got to stop that parade.
I suppose you'd like the riot squad. That would get you a front page spread on every paper in town. Now, look, Ryan, I've got no time for your cheap publicity gags. I'm a busy man.
Listen, I'm trying to tell you I don't know where those Martians came from, who they are, anything about them.
Oh, Ryan, I'm wise to your tricks. Now, if you let the sergeant show you out...
You won't do it, huh? An honest citizen appeals for protection and you refuse it.
I most emphatically do. Now, beat it.
All right, Patrick, I'll go right to the mayor's office. I'll have you busted, flattered, and a fried egg.
Go ahead. I'm sure His Honor will be glad to toss you out on that phony nickel-plated skull of yours.
You heard me, Ryan. You can't see the mayor.
Adolph, please. This isn't a gag. I don't want publicity. All I want to do is maybe prevent something horrible from happening.
In case you don't know it, wise guy, something horrible is already happening. A couple of hundred little kids are in the hospital with tremaine poisoning from that phony Martian candy you passed out.
What?
Or didn't you know?
I didn't. We've got to start that parade.
Sure, you'd like nothing better than to start a panic now. Maybe a few hundred people get trampled to death. Think of the newspaper's face. That'd get you and your phony brat.
I won't stand for this, Adolph. This may be a matter of life and death.
Get out of here, quick. It'll be your death. Go on, beat it. Get out. You and your publicity, sons. Make me sick to my stomach.
Oliver, where are you? Oliver!
It is useless to scream at him, Mr. Ryan. Your friend is quite dead.
Lucia!
He wanted to run to the police with some story about a Martian invasion. I found it necessary to restrain him.
Restrain him, you stinking murderer!
Now, Mr. Ryan, collect yourself. After all our planning, it wouldn't do to have everything spoiled now, would it?
Lucia, I'll start talking and talk fast, because when you get through, I'm going to take you apart piece by piece. What's this all about?
Surely you know, Mr. Ryan. After all, you've been publicizing it for months. You see, before colonizing your planet, the Martian government sent some of us as scouts in advance, disguised as Earthmen, of course, to study your habits, your weaknesses. We found that the people on Earth are predominantly conditioned by advertising and publicity. And so we conceived the idea of treating our entire invasion as a vast publicity stunt. Clever, yes? After all, Mr. Ryan, who would suspect an invader who advertised his invasion in the newspaper, invited the public to his surprise attack, and spent millions publicizing his plans?
Holy jumping.
You've done very well, you see.
Then there was no product.
Ah, but there is a product. The product is death.
What are you trying, Lucia?
We Martians are a humane people, Mr. Ryan. We do not like to destroy thousands where a few hundred will suffice. In exactly 2 minutes, our troops will treat the world to a spectacle of death, which will bring the rest of your planet to its knees in horror. Nations will clamor to surrender.
Perhaps, Mr. Lucia, but not if I can...
Don't! Don't!
Operator, this is Mr. Ryan. Get me the field telephone on the reviewing stand of the Martian Day Parade. Hurry.
Anyone in particular?
Just hurry.
Reviewing stand. Hello?
Get me Commissioner Patrick.
Hello?
Hello?
You have to talk louder.
I want Commissioner Patrick.
Hello?
Patrick.
Wait a minute. Things are quieting down. Hey, what was that you wanted?
This is Ryan. I have to talk to the commissioner. It's a matter of life and death.
Well, you can't talk to him now. The chief Martian is presenting the PVA check to him. The Martians are going to fire a salute.
Listen, you got to stop him.
What?
Sorry,
Mr. Ryan, I can't.
You idiot, the worst is going
to...
Ryan,
what up? I heard it. Is something the matter?
No, operator. Doesn't matter. Nothing.
Tonight by transcription, X-1 has brought you The Parade, written by George Lefferts. Featured in the cast were Joseph Curtin as Ryan, Barry Kroger as Lushar, Alexander Scourby as Ron Heilman, music by Albert Behrman. X-1 was produced by Van Woodward and directed by Edward King. Fred Collins speaking. X-1 is an NBC Radio Network production. And now, next week, The Cave of the Night, the gripping story of the first man to pilot an Earth satellite beyond the reach of gravitational pull, and of what happened when a watching world learned that something had gone wrong, that he could never return, that he was doomed to die a lingering death in the arching blackness of the sky, The Cave of Night. Hear it next week at X-1. Did you ever stop to realize that 4 American coins show us the importance of elections? The first one is the Washington quarter. It was George Washington who reminded us that on the unity of our government depends our independence, our peace at home and abroad, our safety, prosperity, and our freedom. The second coin is the Jefferson nickel. It was Thomas Jefferson who said, "No government can continue good but under the control of the people." The third coin is a penny bearing the likeness of Abraham Lincoln, who said, "Among free men, there can be no successful appeal from the ballot to the bullet." And finally, the Roosevelt dime reminds us of something Franklin D. Roosevelt once said. "Every man and every woman in this nation, regardless of party, who have the right to register and to vote, and the opportunity to register and to vote, have also the sacred obligation to register and to vote." These 4 Americans, by recognizing the importance of elections, added another page to your political history.
And that's all the time that we have here for Scalds Hall. Coming up next, we have Radio Zero with Tyler and Cam, so stay tuned and don't go away.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio.